If you would, take your Bibles, turn to the book of Nehemiah. Please, Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah chapter 2, and we're continuing our series in the book of Nehemiah. And I'm just thankful for how God has worked here. And we'll just pick it up in verse 17. I'm actually going to have a skip around a little bit. We're going to focus really on one idea in chapter 2. It kind of continues the idea into chapter 4 as well. And just kind of taking a thought out of the context here. So Nehemiah chapter 2. If you know where Psalms is, it's a few books before Psalms. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms. Okay, so Nehemiah chapter 2. If you'll stand with me, we'll read verse 17. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17. The Bible says, "Then said I unto them, Ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach." Look at chapter 4, verse 2. This is Sanballat. We talked about Sanballat last time. Sanballat's talking here, and he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, "What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?" Look at verse 10. And Judah said, "The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed." Our strength is gone. He's speaking and he's saying we're done. "The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall." We'll talk to you tonight. The title of the message is this: look to what God can do. Look to what God can do. Not what you can do, not what you're able to accomplish, but look to what God can do. Let's pray. Our God in heaven, Lord, we need you tonight, and I ask that you'd help me to preach your word. It's been a good day. Maybe it's been a busy week, and even today it's been maybe hard for some, as in ministry, serving, being faithful in your house, and I'm so thankful for the faithfulness of your people. And Lord, we need your strength tonight. I need your help. So I pray that you'd help me and you would guide my thoughts and my words, and you would guide our thoughts as we listen to your word, and that we'd be sensitive. And I pray you'd be pleased in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. You can be seated. The explosion was the first warning. The heavy detonation was heard all over West Orange, New Jersey, and every building in the plant was rocked by a giant concussion. Flames leaped at once from all the windows. The walls were cracked by the force of the explosion. At least that's what the December 10th, 1914 New York Times front page article described regarding the destruction of Thomas Edison's plant. For his part, Edison instructed his adult son, Charles, "Go get your mother and all her friends. They'll never see a fire like this again." When Charles objected, "Like you're crazy, Dad," Edison said, "It's all right. We've just got rid of a lot of rubbish." The rubbish was estimated at $7 million at that time, would be about $23 million today. And only $2 million of which was covered by insurance. And yet Edison positively refused to give in to discouragement. He refused to be beaten down by this. The New York Times reporter reported that he simply said, "Although I am over 67 years old, I'll start all over again tomorrow. I am pretty well burned out tonight. I love these words. But tomorrow there will be a mobilization here, and the debris will be cleared away. If it is cooled sufficiently, I will go right to work to reconstruct the plant. Meanwhile, the background fire was still raging while he said that. But tomorrow, were his words. I'm pretty well burned out tonight, but tomorrow, I'm going to start over again, but tomorrow I'm going to get up again, but tomorrow I'm going to try again, but tomorrow I'm going to keep going. And you might ask, how did he do it? How could he watch his life's labor going up in flames? And how could he, I mean, his life's labor went up in flames. Everything exploded. He's an embarrassed, I mean, everybody's embarrassed for him as he's standing out there. There's a huge newscast. They're getting the story. And he sends his son to go get his watch. Why? So they can enjoy the spectacle. Just go get some hot dog sticks and some marshmallows. We'll have a fire. We'll have a good time right here because tomorrow we're going to get up and do it again. But in the moment of adversity, he said, but tomorrow. And he finished his sentence with hope. But tomorrow. And the answer is simple. Thomas Edison knew how to work through discouragement. You know, there's no force in the world that has the potential to weaken your hands like discouragement. And the enemies of Nehemiah knew this. We talked about them last time a little bit. And so they called attention not to the progress on the wall. They didn't want anybody focusing on the progress that had been accomplished by the time we get to Nehemiah chapter 4. And I know we're skipping a little bit here, just kind of highlighting some points along the way. But by the time that they drew attention to the rubbish that was there, it says in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 2, they said, What do these feeble Jews? What are they doing? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Sanballat and Tobias, they were drawing attention to the problem. They were drawing attention to the rubbish. They wanted everybody to see that the big mess that was there and not to focus on what God could do, not to focus on waking up tomorrow and starting over, but to discourage them. And here's the thing. It wasn't just the enemies who saw the rubbish. Even some of the Jews complained. Nehemiah received friendly fire in this situation. Chapter 4, verse 10, look at that. The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. We had strength to start off with, but it's gone now. The strength of the burdens of the bearers, or the bearers of the burdens, is decayed. And there is much rubbish. Sanballat was right. So that we are not able to build the wall. In effect, they said, we're out of strength. We're tired. We're done. And we can't do it. I can identify with these Jews. They were tired. They had lost their vision. They had lost their strength. Their strength was slipping away. They were excited at one time, and now that excitement has worn off for a variety of reasons, but they pointed to one thing, the rubbish, the mess, the clutter, all that was before them. It's like when I tell Josiah to go in and clean his room, he knows how to make a mess. That kid knows how to play with toys and leave them out and get the next toy and leave that out and get the next toy. His garage, when he's an adult, is gonna be ridiculous. I'm just telling you right now. It's just more toys, just an adult version of it. So when I say go clean your room, he walks in. He's like, it almost breaks your heart, but you get over it real quick. But it's like, Dad, what do you mean clean my room? That's like an impossibility. Where do I start? Look at all the rubbish. And I'm always like, start right here. Pick that toy up right there. But Dad, no, that toy. Focus. That toy, right? See the gun? See that Nerf gun? Pick it up. Okay, now go put it away. Puts it away. Not much more to go. Like, wow, this is going to take forever. But the enemies were saying, you can't do this, it's too much rubbish. His own people were saying that the Jews were complaining, our strength is gone, we can't proceed. And I can identify with them. You might know what it's like to have lost vision or to feel your strength slipping away. Perhaps you've been there. Perhaps all you see is the difficulty. All you see is the rubbish. Perhaps if you deal with people, you see the roughness about them. You see the sin or as a mom, the unending laundry or the troublesome tired, or as a spouse, the faults of your mate, or as a Christian in any walk of life, the bills, the trials, the burdens, the impossibilities, the sickness, the world and all that it has. And you just look at it all and my strength is gone. Look at all the rubbish. How do I do this? How am I going to be able to continue with what I'm supposed to continue? And the negativity is certainly there. What do you do? What do you do when it's all you can see? How can you find strength when discouragement has gripped your soul? Well, I want to start with the title of our message tonight, Look to What God Can Do. Look to what God can do. When Nehemiah arrived in Jerusalem, all that ordinary eyes could see was rubbish. All that the normal person would see was rubbish. But where others saw rubbish, Nehemiah saw potential. Where others saw a struggle, Nehemiah saw an opportunity. And he knew that God specializes in reviving rubbish. I don't know what obstacles you face. I don't know what you're going through right now. But I do know that if you stare at the obstacles, you will become discouraged. You look instead to see what God can do. Are you with me tonight? If you look at the obstacles, you will become discouraged. If you look at the multitude of people, you're going to say, "There's 200 penny worth isn't enough to feed these people, Jesus." If you look at the countless people that are in sin and loss, you think, "What kind of difference can I make in soul winning?" Or you look at the sin and the rough edges and the mess that somebody's in, you think, "What kind of a difference can I make in their life?" And if all you do is look at the obstacle, then yes, you will become discouraged, but you look instead to what God can do. We're not going to turn to all of these. I'm going to just reference some of them, but if you can turn quickly in your Bibles to a few things, a few places. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11, if you would. We'll look at two places there, Hebrews chapter 11. In fact, I'd like to do it this way, if you're willing to help me out tonight. I've done this before, but I don't do it very often. I want to give some verse references to some people, if I can do that. If you're willing to help me out, again, if you got a King James Bible, we'd like for you to use that. But if you are able to help us out with reading some of these, I need somebody to look up 1 Kings 17. 1 Kings 17, please, Brother David. And I'm going to give you a good number of verses to read, okay? I hope you know how to read. 1 Kings 17, verses 9 through 16. All right, so you got seven verses there, 9 through 16. 1 Kings 17, verses 9 through 16. Okay, and then I want to give somebody Ezra 1, verses 1 through 4. That was a little shorter. Ezra 1, verses 1 through 4. Anybody like that? Brother Lake? Ezra 1, verses 1 through 4. That will certainly help me out. All right, let's get one more if we can. Ephesians 1, verses 18 through 20. You got that, Chris? Ephesians 1, verses 18 through 20. And then I got one more, actually. One more. This is a good one. I need somebody with a strong, loud voice, maybe on this side of the room. Deep voice over here. I'm not volunteering anybody. You got it? Psalm 48, verse 14. Psalm 48, verse 14. That's a good verse. Psalm 48, verse 14. That's... Lord laid that one on my heart, Brother Carlos. So. You got to look to what God can do. So what obstacles do you face? Are you looking at them? Because if you are, you'll become discouraged. But you got to look instead to what God can do. And I'm just saying, you got to remember, you serve a God who can do great things. Do you believe that tonight? So let's look at Hebrews chapter 11, look at verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. There's a lot that we can get out of this verse. One is a doctrinal verse. We believe God created all things. But I don't think that's the purpose of why it's in here. It's talking about faith. And he goes through a list of people later on who would go through so many difficult situations. And it would require faith for them to be able to get through those situations. And he's reminding us at the beginning some things about the God that we have faith in. The God we have faith in literally spoke the words and the worlds came into existence. No, that's how much power God has. That's what God can do. He can say, let there be light. Boom, it's there. That's the God we have faith in tonight. That's the God who can remove obstacles or use obstacles. That's the God we put faith in. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And based on that logic, we have faith. All these people had faith in that God, and you have that God. You've got to look to what God can do. That's what God can do. Verse 12, Hebrews 11, verse 12. Therefore sprang there even of one, talking about Abraham, and him as good as dead. That means he was so old, he was basically dead. That's what it's saying. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. God gave Abraham a son, billions of descendants, when he was as good as dead. But don't forget the God you serve. Look what he can do. He can create the universe. He gave Abraham a son. He parted the Red Sea. He provided an entire nation of people through 40 years in the wilderness. Think about how he gave a shepherd boy victory over a giant who happened to be a veteran warrior as well. Let's hear 1 Kings 17, verses 9 through 16. The God you serve multiplied the meager resources of a widow woman to provide for her son, for herself, and for a prophet. I love what our God can do. There's so many things in the Word of God that he did. He healed a man with a death sentence of leprosy. He raised dead. He protected three servants in a fiery furnace. They were in the fire. And he protected them. He shut the mouths of lions. He sealed their mouths, hungry lions, so from so much as laying a tooth on his prophet. Ezra 1, verses 1 through 4. Was that Brother Lake? You say, what's that all about? That is God using a wicked, evil king, Cyrus. He stirred up the heart of King Cyrus. He delivered Israel from Babylonian captivity. He provided for his people. Ephesians 1, Chris, Ephesians 1, verses 18 through 20. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. He said it's the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory. That's the greatness of God's power. Do you believe in him tonight? He said to us who believe. Why? Well, he wrought in Christ. It says he raised him from the dead. He raised Jesus from the dead. That's our God. Let's hear Psalm 48:14. For this God is our God. You can make that claim. He's your God. If you know Christ as your Savior. Forever and ever, it says. What's a little rubbish to him? What's a little bit of an obstacle to God? I think the first thing we need to do in finding the answers with this negativity is certainly there. And what do you do when it's all you can see, when there's rubbish everywhere? And how can you find strength When discouragement has gripped your soul, look to what God can do. Second, take action. Take action. The book of Nehemiah is a record of leadership, but it's the word is, I always say it wrong, but the word is causative leadership. It's leadership that has tremendous obstacles, but in each of them there's action involved. For every obstacle, there was an action involved with the obstacle. You see an obstacle, yes, you got to look to God, but there's also got to be an action response on your part in order to overcome the obstacle. You can sit there and stare at it. That accomplishes nothing. But if there's an obstacle in the way, then you've got to take action in order to overcome that obstacle. For example, in chapter 1, when Nehemiah heard about the situation, we already covered this 2 weeks ago, but when Nehemiah heard about the situation and the situation was hopeless, what did he do? He prayed. That's an action you can take with the obstacle. Pray. Talked about that this morning. Spend time at the feet of Jesus. You have an opportunity to do so, but we pass up on those opportunities often. When he needed supplies in chapter 2, well, I prayed about it. Now I need supplies. Well, he asked. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. When he had an assignment, he organized helpers in chapter 3. When the enemies threatened, he armed his workers in chapter 4. When disagreements arose, he intervened. Obstacle of disagreement, he intervened. When there's an obstacle of critics and slander in chapter 6, he persevered. He just kept going no matter what. There's always an action response to the obstacle that you have in front of you. And on through the book of Nehemiah, this leader not only saw the walls built, but he saw one of the great revivals of history. He called God's people together to hear God's word. He basically said, all this is great, the walls are beautiful, but without God, all this is pointless. And the man knew how to take action when everything around him was falling apart, when everything around him was discouraging, when everything around him was oppressive, when everything around him seemed hopeless, when everything around him seemed like what's happening, what's going on, things are not what they should be, they're not how they should be. He took action to the obstacles ahead of him. Look to God and take action. What action do you need to take? What's the obstacle? Look to God about it, but what action do you need to take? Well, I think all of us need to pray, right? No matter what the obstacle is, we need to pray. We need to spend time with God. We certainly do. When something's needed in our lives, when there's something that needs to be supplied, well, why don't you spend time in your prayer asking for God to supply? When something needs to be done, when something needs to be accomplished, when we can sit there, we can complain about it, or we can step up and do something about it. When there's enemies, people who are trying to stop you, obstacles in your way, and critics, we can persevere. He knew how to take action when everything else was falling apart. When discouragement sets in our lives, and it can, it's going to be joined by its cousins, apathy, paralysis. But if you can lift up your eyes unto the hills, for whence cometh your help? Your help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. When you lift up your eyes from the rubbish to the Lord, do something. I'm certainly not suggesting that you rush God either. Nehemiah's first step on his action plan was prolonged prayer. Oftentimes we talked about the Martha syndrome this morning. Oftentimes we see something and we just get busy doing without spending time at the feet of Jesus. We get busy going without considering Christ in the situation. And prayer is something, and it is something. It's something very important. And what I'm suggesting is not that you get ahead of God, but what I'm suggesting is that you refuse to do nothing. You refuse to do nothing. There's needs in your marriage. Do something about it. Do something about it. Be that loving husband or that loving wife, regardless of how hard or whether it's reciprocated. You can be that. Be that wife or be that husband that takes the needs to God in prayer, that is faithful to church, that is faithful to the things of God, that is faithful in your Bible reading and standing up for what's right. Be that wife that God has designed you to be and be the husband that God has designed you to be. There is some things you can do. When it's hard at school to be the Christian God wants you to be, and when there's a lot of rubbish and a lot of things going on, I'm just saying that you can do something. You can stand up for what's right. You can say, you know what, I'm good, I'm not going to do that. You can say, hey, why don't you come to church with me? I'm inviting you. When we're overwhelmed in our spirit, the piles of rubbish get huge. Our ability to build something in their place seems feeble. But if you have your eyes on God, and you determine to take one step of action, there's something about that. Just one step. You know, Josiah's demeanor changed greatly when he finally got that one toy put away. He's like, okay, yeah, this is kind of possible. And you go get the next one. And you just keep going. You take that one step of action, the discouragement seems to dissipate. But it's often that first simple action that strengthens our hands for the task. Look to the Lord, take action. Third, rely on the Lord. Say, well, that's kind of the same thing as the first. No matter how sincere you are, no matter how directed your steps of action may be, without the intervention of God, you don't stand a chance. Without God's help, you don't stand a chance. Nehemiah knew this. And so he challenged the people in their preparedness to fight. He said this, and look at Nehemiah 4:14. Back in our text in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 14, he said, be not ye afraid of them. Look at those next words. Remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. When you're weak, remember He is mighty. When you're unable, remember He is all-powerful. When you are defenseless, remember He is your defender. You are not in this alone. Go to Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Isaiah, please, in your Bibles. Isaiah chapter 41. I'm glad I'm not in this alone. Verse 10 says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. You can underline those words right there. I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I am with thee. What more could we ask? What does relying on the Lord look like in practical terms? I am with you. It means that we depend on His promises. It means that we walk in His Spirit. Think about God's promises for a second. What promise do you need to claim for the piles of rubbish in front of you? What promise do you need from God? I'm saying you need to take your Bibles, you need to find it, you need to highlight it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not into thine understanding, in all the ways acknowledge Him, He shall direct thy paths. Take that, highlight it, own it. You know, we just read Isaiah 41, verse 10. That's a great verse to memorize. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. What promise do you need to claim as you're looking at the rubbish in your life? And take that promise and highlight it and use it. Write it on the walls of your memory. Use it against the giant of discouragement in your life. But consider this as well, the need to walk in the Spirit. See, we act like, oh, just look to God, but there's no change in my life that I need to make. There's a lot of rubbish going on, and God's a good God, and He loves me, and He'll work it all together for good, and it'll be all fine. And we don't take any ownership, or we don't take any personal responsibility of anything that we need to do in our lives in order to help clean up the rubbish that is there. But we got to walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. See, you're in a battle tonight, and discouragement is just one of the weapons in Satan's arsenals. 1 Peter 5:8, what does it say? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may what? Devour. And what can we do against Satan? What can we do against such a stealthy foe? What can you do against somebody who wants to destroy your life and who is more powerful than you? I love Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen? I mean, there are the lusts of the flesh, but when you're walking in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. When you rely on God's power to defeat your enemy, it includes submitting to God. And submitting to what you know God wants you to do. Submitting to the changes in your life that God wants you to make. And what are those changes in your life? Is there sin in your life that God wants you to change? Is there something you're not doing, you're omitting, that God wants you to change in your life? But when you rely on Him and submit to Him, you're able to press on, which is the next thing. Press on. Rely on God and then press on. The 52 days that it took God's people to rebuild the walls is nothing short of amazing. But remember, it did take 52 days. It took time. And these days were fraught with difficulty. These days were fraught with discouragement. These days were fraught with threats. There were people who were in the work that wanted to quit on the work. They said, our strength is gone. The rubbish is just, it's ridiculous. And there was fatigue. There were blisters. There was nerves. But the wall was finished by the power of God. And it was finished through persistent people. What walls need to be built in your life? What walls are there that, what is it that God is trying to get you to accomplish in your life? And you're tired, you're fatigued, you're discouraged. And there's people against you. Your own family might be against you. What walls need to be built at Northwest Baptist Church? What is it that God wants us to accomplish? And you might be tired. You might feel like you're the only one doing the work. Or you might feel like there should be others involved. Or what happened to this person? What happened to that person? Or why is this going on? And you might look at somebody and say, you might say, look at the rubbish in their life. Look at the difficulty. But listen, I just want to encourage you to keep pressing on, because it's going to take faithfulness from somebody in order for God to accomplish something. Never underestimate the power of persistence. See, here's the thing. Discouragement rarely ever knocks on your door, and then when it's defeated, it leaves and never comes back. No, that's not the case at all. As long as there is rubbish present, as long as there is difficulty in your lives, you and I will be tempted to focus our attention on the rubbish. But don't focus on the rubbish. Refuse to focus on the rubbish and look to what God can do. Nehemiah told them, these exact words, be ye not afraid of them. Remember the Lord. Remember God. Instead, look to what God can do. Take action. Rely on the Lord. Look to what God do. Look to what God can do. Take action. Rely on the Lord. Repeat. Look to what God can do. Take action. Rely on the Lord. The very next day, repeat it. Look to what God can do. Take action. Rely on the Lord. Press on until the rubbish is cleared. Till the harvest is ended. Press on until we see our Lord face to face. I'm looking forward to that day when we see Jesus face to face. What a day that will be when my Savior actually sees. It'll be a great day. But keep pressing on. And as you do, here's what's going to happen. As you're faithful, because you're faithful, somebody's going to get saved. No, because of your faithfulness, somebody will get saved. Because of your faithfulness, somebody will be encouraged. Because of your faithfulness, somebody's life will change. Because of your faithfulness, there will be a church that makes a dent in this dark world. in this world that is just pitch black, and there's just this light there in the corner of Leavenworth, Kansas, just shining. Like that. Just, there it is. It's like when I took teenagers into a cave, it was spelunkering, and we went into a cave and got in this dark, 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 dark abyss. And everybody turned the lights off. And I turned on this really weak, weak light. I mean, just, if I had it in this room right here, you'd barely even see the light on it. It just was not bright. But it stood out like a sore thumb in that dark room. God wants us to be a light in this dark world. And when we're faithful to God, regardless of whether or not somebody else is faithful, and we all ought to be faithful, and it sure is encouraging when God's people are faithful. It's encouraging other people when God's people are faithful. But even when they're not, and you commit, I'm going to be faithful, I'm going to rely on God, I'm going to press on, I'm going to look to the Lord, I'm going to rest in His strength, I'm going to claim His promises, I'm going to walk in the Spirit, I'm going to be faithful, the walls of guilt get built. In other words, the work's going to get accomplished for the Lord, and you get to be a part of it. Turn to Galatians 6:9 and we're done. Galatians 6:9, please. Read it out loud with me, if you would. Why don't you stand with me? We'll read this and then we'll close in prayer. Galatians chapter 6. Ready? Begin. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let's pray. Our God in heaven, Lord, we're grateful and thankful for your goodness, for your mercy, for your grace. And thank you, Lord, for how you are faithful to us. And Lord, you've always been faithful. Lord, help us to be faithful. Help us to look beyond the rubbish in our lives and help us to look to what you can do and to take action, rely on you and press on. And have the mindset that Paul had. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And discouragement can set in very easily, but help us to get our eyes off of the discouragement and focus on you. And Lord, that you be glorified and honored through our response to your word tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.